we're a bunch of old Christians, meaning, well, Bob isn't an old Christian, really, but you're getting there. Oh, come on. There you go. Just got to make sure it's in a new wineskin so it don't go pop. But, again, you know, you can be 80 years old and be a baby Christian. You know, you can be 40 years old and be an old Christian because you've been a long time. But we've all been around the block enough to know the story of Jesus and what's going on here. But, and we know what happens a little bit farther on today. You know, Jesus gets arrested and then he winds up being crucified tomorrow, 2,000 years ago. Part of that time that Jesus is spent in the crucifixion, he comes up with a phrase in Aramaic. And in the Bible, you normally see it written in Aramaic. Aramaic is, you know how, you know, we all don't talk like ever how we want to, right? We don't normally talk the King's English. Well, Aramaic is kind of like what normal people talk, the vernacular of the day of Hebrew, as opposed to the classic King James type of perfect English. Jesus says at one point, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some people in a crowd, I don't know why they did that. I don't know why they left it that way. The Bible translators, I mean. There's another spot where Jesus rises a girl from the dead. And there he says, Talitha, come, or cum, which means, little girl, get up. And that's usually written that way in the Bible. They don't usually translate it, and it doesn't normally say, little girl, get up. Just like sometimes you come across the word Rabboni, which means teacher. And sometimes it says, Rabboni, impressive, which means teacher. But here it says, Eloi, Eloi, yama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was a little depressed. He was lonely. He was crushed. He felt abandoned. You ever been lonely? You ever been alone? Everybody go, no, because I don't think anybody in this room has ever been alone. Alone being adrift in a boat with no sails, with no gas for the motor, 400 miles out at sea, you have no idea where you're going. That's alone. Being in a mine that the shaft just collapsed and you're the only one surviving. That's alone. I mean, if you're out 400 miles offshore in a boat by yourself, and you have plenty of gas and you're fishing, you're not alone. There might not be anybody else. Hi, Bob, let's do some fishing. There might not be anybody else with you, but you're not necessarily alone. You don't feel abandoned because you're there on purpose. But if you're stranded in a boat, if you're stuck in a mine, you're not on purpose. Jesus was abandoned. And if you remember what happens before that, when he's in the garden, he says to God, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. But whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And he winds up feeling abandoned. Can you imagine what that feeling of total abandonment is? I can't imagine it. It's very difficult to put yourself in another person's place for their feelings. I have twin sisters. They're 10 years older than I am. They're identical twins, so they're exactly the same. And so if I ask them a question about something, they'd give me the exact same answer. No, because they're different people. Not one of us in here is Jesus. We all may carry Jesus around inside of us, but we can't put ourselves in his place. And not only that, but people today and from eons past have come up with an understanding of what happens when you die. But we really don't know exactly what it's like when we die. Is it literally a lake of fire for people in hell? Is it really people floating around with wings and white robes playing harps and singing? We don't know. these images have come up trying to represent absolute beauty and then absolute misery. Jesus knew. He was there. He was part of the creation of all of what goes on after we die. A lot of people will say, well, you know, he was afraid of dying. I don't know if Jesus was actually afraid of dying, because he knew what was going to happen, that he was going to rise again. But he didn't want to do the nasty stuff. You ever been alone? Not like that. You know, they say that you're born alone. And I don't know of anybody who has ever claimed in truth to have memories of being born. And there have been people who said, I don't believe it. But you're alone when you're born. You don't know anybody outside. You don't even know the woman that was carrying you around, even though you might recognize her voice when she speaks to you for the first time, because you heard her when you were inside. But you're alone. And then when you die, I don't care how many people are surrounding you, how many people are holding your hands, you're alone. Except for one person. Jesus is there with you. If you are one of his people. If you're not a believer, well, you are as alone as Jesus was when he was dying on the cross. And he was dying on that cross, and he felt no God. Andrew and I were talking slightly about this the other day, and I told her that some people, and probably the best description of what hell is to me that I've ever heard, is the total separation from God. Not being buried this deep in a lake of fire, but just maybe even sitting in a pleasant hillside and seeing heaven over there and seeing God and Jesus and the Spirit and knowing you can never be there. That would be hell. Jesus was alone for us. Which is why when that guy said Happy Good Friday, I always try to figure out, Happy Lent, which doesn't make any sense. How can you have a happy end? Happy Lent. And something just sounds stupid. Merry Advent, dumb. But Happy Good Friday sounds like a contradiction, but it's right. Happy Good Friday, even though today's Thursday. Happy Thursday. But you don't ever have to be alone. St. Paul wrote, no matter how deep in hell I might be, no matter how far away I am, no matter what problems I have, God is here. He never leaves. For some reason, Jesus did not feel that presence of God. And he hurt. It was painful for him. I don't ever want to do that. I don't want any of you to ever do that. But just remember that there are people who will. Tonight, I want you to understand, because we gloss it over, Bob and I talked about this earlier today, we have an empty cross, two of them actually, up there. We don't have a little Jesus hanging on there. As Protestants, we emphasize the fact that Jesus rose from the tomb, that he wasn't dead and stayed dead. I'm wearing a crucifix tonight. This belonged to my grandmother. She was an Episcopalian. It's the only crucifix I own. Actually, that's not true. I found that one we have card. But it's the only cross-type crucifix I own. And I only wear it on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday because it's appropriate. Because remember when Jesus was on the cross. But he's not anymore. And he's not alone. He's back united with the Father and with us. And so we're not alone either. And one way we connect back to Jesus is with the Eucharist. You celebrate communion. Because Jesus told us to. When he was sitting there, he called together his disciples on that Passover night, and he gave them the feast. And he was the host of the meal. And during that meal, he took the bread that was laid before him. And this bread is made from an ancient kind of a recipe that Andrea found somewhere. And it was pre-cut into pieces, okay? And it looked like a little piece of pizza. Because we're going to celebrate communion tonight by intinction, which when you take and you take a piece of the bread and you dip it into the cup. Because we are sharing a common loaf and we are sharing a common cup without having to pass our cooties together with each other. And that's what we are doing. So, in the fullness of time, when Jesus came, they were sitting there at the Passover meal, and he acted as host of the meal, and he took the bread that was set before him, and he blessed that bread, and he gave God thanks for that bread, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples to take each of you and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this and remember me. In the same way, at the end of the meal, our Lord took the cup that was there before him. And again, he returned thanks for that, and he blessed it. And he gave that cup to his disciples to take each of you and drink of it. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of sin, shed for you. Do this and remember me. The Apostle Paul later wrote to the church at Corinth that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes once again.